You're listening to ABC Radio Perth
with Gillian O'Shaughnessy.
I kind of got interested in insects at a very young age. And I think if you ask most entomologists, they will actually say the same thing. But I used to have great fun going out to the bush and just looking at insects. And I spent quite a bit of my childhood doing that. And so I always wanted to be an entomologist, which is a person who studies insects. And so when I left school, I did a science degree and then did postgrad studies in insect taxonomy. And I was drawn to moths because they're incredibly diverse. They're a very, very large group of animals, and they're easy to collect. So I thought that was a good way to go.
When you say very large group, Kathy, how large?
Well, globally, there's about 200,000 species, but probably around about half that number again are still undescribed or new to science. In Australia, we've got around about 25,000 species, and again, is it also a huge number that hasn't been described that we don't really know about yet. They're one of the largest, most diverse, and most successful groups of animals in the world.
Well, tell us a little bit about how diverse they are.
Well, just in terms of species, they're extremely diverse, but they also do a lot of things in the environment as well. So, I mean, moths come in all shapes and sizes. Most of them are actually very small, round about, for instance, say 10 millimetres wingspan. So it's an incredible number of really tiny moths, but the ones that we're more familiar with, I guess, are quite large. And the largest moth that we have in Australia is around about 300 millimetres wingspan, so they can get incredibly large as well. There's some very heavy bodied moths. I think over in Western Australia, you've got some of these as well. They're called ghost moths or rain moths. So they come out after rain, and these moths are quite remarkable because they're extremely fertile. They can lay anything up to about 45,000 eggs.
Wow.
But they only live for one day. So their sole role in life is just to reproduce. The caterpillars, though, live for a lot longer. That's the eating stage of the moths and butterflies. And that can live for much longer than the adults. So we're talking up to a year for the really large moths.
Now, for those of us who don't know, and I include myself, I get confused, I love them. What's the difference between a butterfly and a moth?
Yes, that's a very good question. It's actually quite complicated.
Oh, good.
it's actually quite hard because I'll just take you through some of the differences. So probably the best characteristic is that butterflies all have a clubbed antennae. So if you look carefully at a butterfly's antennae, you'll notice it looks like a little slender filament with a knob on the end. Now, most moths by far don't have that. There is a few species, unfortunately, but they're fairly uncommon. But most moths have what we call a branched antenna, but unfortunately that's not all moths. So some moths just have a simple filament as well, but very, very, very few have a clubbed antennae like the butterflies. So that's point number one. Butterflies often have a slender body compared to the big chunky moths, but there are exceptions to that rule as well in the moth world. So there are quite a few moths that do have a slender body. Next point is that very few butterflies are nocturnal. There are some that fly around dusk, but most butterflies by far are nocturnal. But having said that, there's quite a few moths that are diurnal. They fly during the day, especially moths that are found at higher elevations. So that's not a particularly good way to discriminate them as well. Butterflies are quite often brightly coloured, but there are quite a few really brightly coloured moths as well. So you can't really use that as a point of difference. There is another structure that only moths have as well, and that's a hook-like mechanism that connects their wings together. And there's only one butterfly that's got that, but it's actually quite difficult to see. So,
I mean, they're so beautiful. Lots of people think they just destroy clothes, but this campaign, Moths Matter, perhaps you could explain to us, Kathy, why they do.
So moths are much, much, much more than just a clothes moth. And it's amazing the number of people that often say that to me, that they don't realise that the huge diversity of moths. Now, particularly in Australia, we've got a huge number of species. They're extremely important in ecosystems. And just by virtue of the number of moths and caterpillars out there in the bush makes them a really, really important part of most natural ecosystems. So they provide food for other animals. They provide food for particularly bats, birds, reptiles, marsupials, other insects and spiders. Even humans eat moths and caterpillars. Around about 90% of people in some African countries eat moths and caterpillars. And, of course, there's a strong indigenous link with in Australia with moths and caterpillars as well. Aborigines used to eat bogong moths, which is a very common moth on the eastern seaboard. And, of course, witchetty grubs as well is a very important part of the food for indigenous people. Moths also are very important in pollination. Many moths eat nectar and they're quite hairy, so that helps them transport pollen around as well. In Australia in particular, they're very important for recycling of organic matter. There's a huge number of caterpillars that eat leaf litter, so that's very important in nutrient recycling. Most caterpillars eat plants, so that means they're very important as a herbivore in ecosystems, but that does mean that they can be important pests as well. They also make silk, as we all know, so we wouldn't have silk if we didn't have caterpillars. And they also can be important in biocontrol of pests. You might have heard of the prickly pear problem in Queensland. That was basically kept under control by a little moth called Cactoblastis. The caterpillars attacked the cactus, and now it's almost completely under control.
How are they travelling, moths, in terms of their numbers, Kathy?
Yeah, look, it's hard to know. It's I don't think anyone's actively
counting
moth numbers. It's quite a difficult thing to do. Any stories that you hear are quite anecdotal. You know, people will say that they don't see as many moths as they used to in certain areas. I mean, they're very impacted by drought, and so climate change and droughts will be having an impact on all our insects, really. No one's been able to measure that in any kind of accurate way, I guess, but we can only guess that they will be impacted as the climate dries out and becomes hotter.